Hey guys, and welcome to this week's Come Follow Me for Young Adults podcast. First off, I would like to apologize for missing last week's episode. Between my brother's mission farewell on Sunday and then exams to study for, it was impossible to get to. Alright, this week covers D&C sections 106 through 108, which goes over not just how church leadership should be organized, but also about his power and authority, specifically the priesthood. At first glance, Doctrine and Covenants 107 seems to be only about organizing priesthood offices into a leadership structure for the Lord's Church. By this time this revelation was published, church membership was outgrowing the capacity of the few leaders it had in place. Outlining the roles and responsibilities of the First Presidency, the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, the 70 bishops, and Quorum Presidencies was definitely needed and helpful. But there's so much more to the divine instruction in section 107 than just how church leadership should be organized. Here, the Lord teaches us about his power and authority, the holy priesthood after the order of the Son of God. The purpose of the priesthood is to unlock all the spiritual blessings of the church so that all of God's children can have the heavens opened unto them and enjoy the communion and presence of God the Father and Jesus the mediator of the new covenant. In teaching us about his priesthood, the Savior is teaching us about himself and how we can come unto him. The Lord supports me when he calls me to serve. In Doctrine and Covenants 106 and 108, the Lord gave counsel and promises to two members who were called to serve in his church. As you study his counsel, you might think about your opportunities to serve the Lord, perhaps a ministering assignment, a church calling, responsibilities in your family, or spiritual promptings to do good. In section 106, this revelation given through Joseph Smith to Warren A. Cowdery in 1834 calls Warren to serve as a presiding high priest over the church in his region, dedicating himself fully to preaching the gospel and warning surrounding communities. It emphasizes the urgency of spiritual readiness for the second coming, which will surprise the unprepared but not the faithful children of light. The Lord expresses joy in Warren's submission and separation from worldly pursuits, promising him mercy, grace, and strength if he remains humble and faithful. Ultimately, Warren is assured an eternal reward, a crown in the mansions of the Father for his devoted service. In section 108, this revelation received by Joseph Smith in response to Lyman Sherman's request for divine guidance affirms that Lyman's sins are forgiven due to his obedience and seeking counsel. He is reassured of his spiritual standing and encouraged to be more diligent in keeping his covenants with the promise of great blessings. The Lord instructs him to wait patiently for the solemn assembly, at which point he will be ordained among the leading elders of the church. If he remains faithful, Lyman will be empowered to preach the gospel whenever he is sent and is charged to uplift and strengthen his brethren through his words, prayers, and actions. The Lord concludes with a promise of continual presence, blessing, and deliverance. What do you feel the Lord's message to you is in these revelations? Which phrases seem particularly meaningful to you? Here are a few to consider. When has the Lord given you grace or divine help and assurance to be able to serve him? The Lord has given me assurance to be able to serve him by sharing my faith with others. Growing up in Texas, people are mainly Baptist, but all that matters is that you are Christian and love Jesus Christ. I almost always wear my young woman's medallion. Yes, the young woman's medallion from Personal Progress. Anyways, being surrounded by a lot of people who share different beliefs, I either always get compliments or questions about it. I love either of them, but when I get asked questions, I get to talk about my faith. I used to be scared to share my faith with not really knowing how to answer the questions I might be asked, but every time I feel assured that it is okay to answer. Now I get excited when someone asks me about it and I get to share that it is the Salt Lake City Temple on the medallion and that I am a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And even though it might be something small, sharing my faith still serves the Lord. What do you think it means to strengthen others in all your doings? I believe that when strengthening others in all your doings means that in your prayers, thoughts, daily actions, you try to uplift each other. Whether this is your family, friends, coworkers, or a stranger you met for just 2 minutes. This can be done in many ways, like smiling, posting an uplifting quote on your Instagram story, or praying for them. There are so many ways to strengthen others in all your doings. Small acts of kindness can go a long way. When Elder Carl B. Cook received a difficult church assignment, he drew strength from the experience of an ancestor. This can be found in Serve in Ensign or Liahona from November 2016. Consider writing a letter to encourage your descendants or your future self to accept opportunities to serve the Lord. Include in your letter the truths you learned from Elder Cook's message, from Doctrine and Covenants 106 and 108, and or your own experiences. For this, as someone whose brother is about to leave on his mission in 2 days, I would also like for everyone listening to also consider writing a letter to a missionary you know or one you feel compelled to write to help encourage them or uplift them while they are serving away from home. The priesthood is after the order of the Son of God. The Lord begins his revelation on the priesthood by teaching us the original name of the Melchizedek priesthood. In Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verses 1 through 4, it says, "There are in the church two priesthoods, namely the Melchizedek and the Aaronic, including the Levitical priesthood." Why the first is called the Melchizedek priesthood is because Melchizedek was such a great high priest. Before his day, it was called the Holy Priesthood, after the order of the Son of God. But out of respect or reverence to the name of the Supreme Being, to avoid the too frequent repetition of his name, they, the church, in ancient days, called that priesthood after Melchizedek, or the Melchizedek priesthood. Why do you think it is important to know that? How does this name influence the way you think about the priesthood? For me, it really puts the priesthood in a different perspective, where it's not just the power and authority that God gives us to man, but that it is also was after the order of the Son of God. It was called the Holy Priesthood after the order of the Son of God. For me, at least, the old name of the Melchizedek priesthood and the reason for changing the name to what it is now shows the importance and reverence that the priesthood holds. Okay, keep these thoughts in mind as you read about the priesthood, especially in verses 18 through 20, and we are still in section 107. The power and authority of the higher or Melchizedek priesthood is to hold the keys of all the spiritual blessings of the church, to have the privilege of receiving the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, to have the heavens opened unto them to commune with the general assembly and church of the firstborn, and to enjoy the communion and presence of God the Father and Jesus the mediator of the new covenant. The power and authority of the lesser or Aaronic priesthood is to hold the keys of the ministering of angels, and to administer in outward ordinances, the letter of the gospel, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, agreeable to the covenants and commandments. What does it mean to have the heavens opened? What does it mean to enjoy the communion and presence of God, the Father, and Jesus? How do the Savior's priesthood power and authority make all of this available to you? To have the heavens opened for me means that all the blessings that the Lord has for me can be received through the Melchizedek priesthood. To enjoy the communion and presence of God, the Father, and Jesus means that I'm able to share or exchange fears, thoughts, thankfulness, or anything that is on my mind with the Lord through prayer. The Savior's priesthood power and authority is available to all. even though it can be misconstrued that only men have the priesthood. Men have priesthood authority by ordination, but everyone has access to priesthood power through righteousness. Prophets and apostles testify of Jesus Christ. Joseph Smith shared section 107 in 1835 with the newly called Quorum of the 12 Apostles. What did the Lord teach them about their calling in verses 23 through 24, 33 through 35, and 38? The 12 traveling counselors are called to be the 12 apostles, or special witnesses of the name of Christ in all the world, thus differing from other officers in the church in duties of their calling. And they form a quorum, equal in authority and power to the three presidents previously mentioned. The 12 are a traveling, presiding high council to officiate in the name of the Lord under the direction of the presidency of the church, agreeable to the institution of heaven, to build up the church and regulate all the affairs of the same in all nations, first unto the Gentiles and secondly unto the Jews. The 70 are to act in the name of the Lord under the direction of the 12 or the traveling high council in building up the church and regulating all the affairs of the same in all nations, first unto the Gentiles and then to the Jews. The 12 being sent out, holding the keys to open the door by the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and first unto the Gentiles and then unto the Jews. It is the duty of the traveling high council to call upon the 70 when they need assistance to fill the several calls for preaching and administering the gospel instead of any others. How has your witness of Jesus Christ been strengthened by the teaching and ministry of his living apostles? My witness of Jesus Christ has been strengthened by the teaching and ministry of his living apostles by intently listening to General Conference. Yes, it can be a lot easier to take a nap or play on my phone, which I am very guilty of. But whenever I have the thought, I need to listen to this one, I put everything down and pay attention to what the apostles are saying. And almost every time, it feels as if they are talking to me personally, and that Christ wanted me to hear that message. Almost as if that message was specifically written and spoke to and for me. In verses 91 through 92, the Lord teaches about his senior apostle, the president of the church. How is he like unto Moses? And again, the duty of the president of the office of the high priesthood is to preside over the whole church and to be like unto Moses. Behold, here is wisdom, yea, to be a seer, a revelator, a translator, and a prophet, having all the gifts of God which he bestows upon the head of the church. I'm going to ask that question one more time, with also a question of my own. How is he like unto Moses? And how is our prophet Russell M. Nelson like unto Moses? As you go throughout the week, think about these questions and if you feel prompted to share your answer with your friends or family. The Lord accomplishes his work through councils. Notice what the Lord taught about councils and Doctrine and Covenants, section 107, verses 27 through 31 and 85 through 89. What makes a council effective and how might you apply these principles in your church calling, your home, or your other responsibilities? And every decision made by either of these quorums must be by the unanimous voice of the same. That is, every member in each quorum must be agreed to its decisions in order to make their decisions of the same power or validity, one with the other. A majority may form a quorum when circumstances render it impossible to be otherwise. Unless this is the case, their decisions aren't Unless this is the case, their decisions are not entitled to the same blessings, which the decisions of the Quorum of Three Presidents were anciently, who were ordained after the order of Melchizedek and were righteous and holy men. The decisions of these quorums, or either of them, are to be made in all righteousness and holiness and lowliness of heart, meekness and long-suffering, and in faith and virtue and knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Because the promise is, if these things abound in them, they shall not be unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. And again, verily I say unto you, the duty of the president over the office of a deacon is to preside over 12 deacons, to sit in council with them, and to teach them their duty, edifying one another as it is given according to the covenants. And also the duty of the president over the office of the teachers is to preside over 24 of the teachers and to sit in council with them, teaching them the duties of their office as given in the covenants. Also the duty of the president over the priesthood of Aaron is to preside over 48 priests and to sit in council with them, to teach them the duties of their office as is given in the covenants. This president is to be a bishop, for this is one of the duties of this priesthood. Again, the duty of the president over the office of elders is to preside over 96 elders and to sit in council with them and to teach them according to the covenants. What really stood out to me is in verse 30 when it states that the decisions should all be made in righteousness and in faith and virtue and knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Wow, that verse was packed full. For all of my responsibilities, any of my relationships, these principles regarding how decisions should be made are spot on. Whether it's a dumb argument with my siblings or even deciding which path to take in education, the principles that are taught in this verse can be applied to everything in my life. All right, that is all for this week's Come Follow Me lesson. I hope y'all enjoyed and were able to take something away from it. I will see y'all next week for October's first lesson. Y'all have a great week.